Hello, season's greetings. I'm Andrew Young, and I'm pleased to send you, as a kind of a holiday greeting, a message of peace and goodwill, which really stems from the tragedy that our country has experienced in the last year. The title of it is No More Katrinas. And it's really a message that a young man whom I've come to know and respect, John Bryant, gave to his staff, helping them to understand what our nation has got to do in order to prevent the economic levees of our society continuing to break and the storm clouds of injustice and ignorance depriving our citizens of the kind of education and information that they'll need to survive in the 21st century. I hope you take a minute to listen and learn a little bit about Operation Hope and what it means for our country and what it hopefully will mean for you personally in your business and personal life. God bless you, and have a happy holiday.
No more Katrinas. Economic levees prepare to break all across America. About a week ago, I came together with my national and regional boards and my staff for our annual board retreat as we move into a new year of 2006. And my chief of staff had asked me for a vision statement of where we would go in the new year. And for some reason, I had nothing to give. Nothing. I couldn't sort it out. I couldn't figure out why my emotions and my passions would not sync up when there seemed to be so much promise around Operation Hope. And then it hit me. It wasn't about Operation Hope. In fact, I was heartbroken, saddened, because in the backdrop of Hurricane Katrina, I saw indifference. Someone once said that hate was not love's opposite, indifference was. And then you have Stalin, not one of my heroes, who once said prophetically, one death was a tragedy, but a million deaths, just a statistic. Too much to comprehend, too much to digest, too overwhelming. So people push it away. They forget about it. They dismiss it. They discount it. They can't understand a million deaths. And so he got away with it. And so what happens when it is reported there are 2.9 million victims of Hurricane Katrina? How do we process that? How do we handle that in the midst of all of our stress and strain of our daily lives? Two jobs and children at home and a commute and taxes and stress of living in America and trying to make it and trying to be middle class. And then comes not a disaster, but a catastrophe. How do we process that? Well, some of us didn't. They didn't process it. They pushed it away. Normally loving, caring, wonderful people just pushed it away and turned the page and hoped that somebody would handle it, that it would just go away. And worse than indifference, we forgot. You know, the American military is an amazing art study, an amazing study of spirit. We will go into a foreign land, and whether it's the war in Iraq or some other interaction, and if we see a soldier falling on a foreign battlefield. We'll send an entire battalion in to get that one man. We're probably the only nation in the world that honors the importance of one soldier like that. And why? Why do we go back? Why does an entire regiment or battalion go in for just one soldier? Because he's an American, and we leave no one behind. Yet, on an American sidewalk, in an American city, in the greatest country in the world, some would say, in the strongest capitalistic country with the most diverse economy and culture, with the most sophisticated technology available to mankind, we found a way to leave one of our own behind. A 78-year-old black elderly man we left dying on that street corner in New Orleans. The 80-year-old elderly female we left to die in a wheelchair in the Dome. For the first time since the Civil Rights Movement, we left one of our own behind. Times a thousand. In fact, they're still finding victims of Katrina in living rooms and attics, in residential areas, in the disaster zone. Why, how is it that this is possible in America? Maybe it's not as big as some would suggest it is. 90,000 square miles is a disaster zone. The same geographic area as England. 500,000 automobiles. 600,000 mortgages on a bubble. 42% of the tax base of Louisiana gone. 5 states. And then some will say and try to rationalize, well, who in their right mind would stay in Louisiana? The average resident in the Ninth Ward made $10,300 a year. Newsflash, they were in a disaster when Katrina struck. One paycheck away from poverty, living paycheck to paycheck. Why would you ignore a direct order to leave a disaster zone? Because on the 29th, they were waiting for their check on the 30th. Because they didn't own an automobile to drive out of town. Because they didn't have a credit card to pay for the hotel. Because they didn't have enough money to leave. Their sin is they're born poor in America. And here's the rub. 90 days later, after a disaster, you and I are theoretically doing better. We've picked ourselves up. We've brushed ourselves off. We've relocated our family. We found a new skill. We've moved on. 90 days later, we're doing better. But 90 days after Katrina, the average victim is just doing worse. Because they were in a disaster when Katrina struck. No more Katrinas. And so you have the physical disaster, but as we were talking, as Ambassador Andrew Young and I were talking with Governor Blanco of Louisiana and trying to talk about the economic disaster that follows the physical disaster and second stage economic disaster response and recovery, she stopped us and said, "You don't need to sell me. I am more concerned," she said, "about the economic disaster than, frankly, I'm concerned about the physical disaster itself. How do you say car loans and no cars? Home loans and no homes. Small business concerns and small business debt and no going concern. Credit card bills and no jobs. Where do we go from here?" The science and even spirit would suggest you cannot have a rainbow without a storm first. As I was flying into Louisiana, one of many trips, and landing on the runway, listening to a recent speech by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. as he moved from issues of race and war to the third evil of poverty in 1968, he vowed, where do we go from here? And I think as he talked about what I call civil rights, moving from civil rights to silver rights, if the 20th century was about issues of race and the color line all over the world, or what we call civil rights, and the first civil right was the right to vote, then the 21st century, an economic era, will be about issues of class and poverty. Class and poverty all over the world are what we call silver rights. You know, some have said the Katrina was about race. Well, race is certainly a tax on poverty, but in 2005, poverty doesn't discriminate. There are more poor white people in America than poor anybody else. And if Katrina had hit the Appalachians and not New Orleans, you'd have 1,000 dead poor white people and not 1,000 dead, mostly poor black people. We're all in this together. And so as we were taxiing down into New Orleans, into the gate, and I was thinking about where do we go from here, it hit me that we've got to find a way to make sure that you don't have a FEMA rep, a well-intentioned person, asking someone without a bank account, where do I wire your $2,000 in FEMA funds? 70 million Americans have no bank account in the wealthiest country in the world. We've got to make sure we convert check-cashing customers into banking customers, and renters into homeowners, and small business dreamers into small business owners, and minimum wage workers into living wage workers with new job skills, and the economically uneducated to the economically empowered. We've got to educate 5 million low-wealth children in financial literacy in the next 5 years, because these kids are not dumb and they're not stupid. It's what they don't know that they don't know that's killing them. We can make a change. We can do this thing differently. How do we have the largest capitalist country in the world and no one's teaching our children life 101 skills? How do we have third world countries in America? How do we do that? How do we accept that this delicate social contract, one American to another, has been broken or is breaking? I don't think we can. I think we're better than that. So Project Restore Hope has mobilized a partnership with Homeland Security and FEMA and the state of Louisiana and the U.S. Small Business Administration and the banking regulatory agencies and the private sector, government and community. And I think that Dr. King, if he was alive today, he would say, John, you're not doing enough. I want you to do more. He'd also turn to America and say, you're not doing enough. I want you to do more. But he would also say very powerfully and with moral authority, no more Katrinas. There are economic levies ready to break all over this country. There's an economic levy ready to break in Detroit. There's an economic levy ready to break in Harlem and Philadelphia and Pittsburgh and Boston and New York and all the boroughs of New York and East LA and South Central LA and Oakland and all of the New Orleans and Baton Rouges all over America. Economic levies prepared to break, one step away from poverty. I am hopeful about America. I think that what we're seeing now from Katrina and the magic of God and even Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. himself and his brilliance could not put a face on poverty as Katrina did herself. And all the world, unfortunately or fortunately, got to see it. What are we going to do about it? And then Paris, France, and the riots outside in the suburbs, those were issues of class and poverty. And the riots and civil unrest in 1992, the Rodney King riots, those at its core were issues of class and poverty. Class and poverty. And so we are here. The first line of defense and making sure that when these Katrina victims get their last FEMA check, they will move into a new era and hit an economic wall. And we want to make sure we help them negotiate with the lenders about car loans and no cars, and home loans and no homes, and small business loans and no going concerns, and give them the dignity that they deserve. No one can repossess your dignity, and help them negotiate a soft landing, not a handout, but a hand up. And yes, we've helped 5,000 people, but that's only the beginning. Yes, we have 1,000 volunteers, but we need 8,000. And so you can do something. You can help. And it doesn't matter. This is one of those times where it doesn't matter whether you're black or white or rich or poor or conservative or liberal. In fact, I think Dr. King would also say, if you don't, I hope he doesn't mind me calling up his name. He would say, this is not about the Republican Party or the Democratic Party. It's about the Get It Done Party. It's not about red states and blue states. It's about the American states. I believe we are in our storm. We've had our storm if you're a Katrina victim. But I also believe you cannot have a rainbow without a storm first. May God bless you. Happy holidays.
My name is Sheila Kennedy Bryant. I want to first of all wish you happy holidays. As we celebrate this season and welcome a New Year's celebration for 2006, may we offer prayer and hope to all hurricane survivors and hurricane recovery efforts. My husband, John Bryant, just brought you a very sobering message entitled, No More Katrinas. No More Katrinas will be our 2006 direct action theme and our call to action against indifference and economic levee breaks. There are levees ready to break in New Orleans, in Baton Rouge, in the state of Mississippi, in the state of Alabama, and in cities like Detroit, Baltimore, Harlem, Oakland, and South Los Angeles all across America. This is what happens when you have a population of people who are effectively in a state of personal economic disaster even before a natural disaster hit them. Individuals living from paycheck to paycheck, financially illiterate, economically unprepared, and fundamentally undereducated in many states in the nation. I encourage you to take this message to heart and then decide to take action in your life in the new year. You can volunteer for Operation Hope at www.operationhope.org or another agency. You can, of course, make a contribution, or you can simply endorse a call for No More Katrinas by sending my husband an email at john.bryant@operationhope.org. We wish you a happy holiday and a happy new year.